Chapter 5. Ashes. For almost a month, the columns flowed past, more every day. Even old Laura admitted that she had never seen so much traffic on the road. From time to time, a lone messenger on horseback rode against the tide, galloping towards the north, but always alone. After a time, everyone knew there would be no reinforcements. An officer in one of the last columns advised the people of the area to pack up whatever they could carry and move south. "They are coming," he warned. A few listened to him, and indeed for a week the road was full of refugees from towns further north. Some of them told frightful stories. When they left, more of the local people went with them. But most stayed. They were people like her father, and the land was in their blood. The last organized force to come down the road was a ragged troop of cavalry, men as gaunt as skeletons riding horses with skin pulled tight around their ribs. They thundered past in the night, their mounts heaving and foaming, and the only one to pause was a pale young officer who reined his mount up briefly and shouted, "Go! Go! They are burning everything!" Then he was off after his men. The few soldiers who came after were alone or in small groups. They did not always use the road, and they did not pay for the things they took. Then, no one came at all. The road was deserted. The innkeeper claimed he could smell ashes when the wind blew from the north. He packed up his family and went south. Terry was distraught. Jeff was wide-eyed and anxious and only a bit frightened. He asked 1,000 questions about the enemy and practiced at being a warrior. Their father went about his labors busy as ever. War or no war, he had crops in the field. He smiled less than usual, however, and he began to drink, and Adara often saw him glancing up at the sky while he worked. Adara wandered the fields alone, played by herself in the damp summer heat, and tried to think of where she would hide if her father tried to take them away. Last of all, the king's dragon riders came, and with them, Hal. There were only 4 of them. Adara saw the first one and went and told her father, and he put his hand on her shoulder, and together they watched it pass, a solitary green dragon with a vaguely tattered look. It did not pause for them. 2 days later, 3 dragons flying together came into view, and one of them detached itself from the others and circled down to their farm while the other 2 headed south. Uncle Hal was thin and grim and sallow-looking. His dragon looked sick. Its eyes ran, and one of its wings had been partially burned, so it flew in an awkward, heavy manner, with much difficulty. "Now will you go?" Hal said to his brother in front of all the children. "No, nothing has changed." Hal swore. "They will be here within 3 days," he said. "Their dragon riders may be here even sooner." "Father, I'm scared," Terry said. He looked at her, saw her fear, hesitated, and finally turned back to his brother. "I am staying. But if you would, I would have you take the children." Now it was Hal's turn to pause. He thought for a moment and finally shook his head. "I can't, John. I would, willingly, joyfully, if it were possible, but it isn't. Brimstone is wounded. He can barely carry me. If I took on any extra weight, we might never make it." Terry began to weep. "I'm sorry, love," Hal said to her. "Truly, I am." His fists clenched helplessly. "Terry is almost full grown," their father said. "If her weight is too much, then take one of the others." Brother looked at brother with despair in their eyes. Hal trembled. "Adara," he said finally. "She's small and light." He forced a laugh. "She hardly weighs anything at all. I'll take Adara. The rest of you take horses or a wagon or go on foot, but go, you must." "We will see," their father said noncommittally. "You take Adara and keep her safe for us." "Yes," Hal agreed. He turned and smiled at her. "Come, child. Uncle Hal is going to take you for a ride on Brimstone." Adara looked at him very seriously. "No," she said. She turned and slipped through the door and began to run. They came after her, of course, Hal and her father and even Jeff. But her father wasted time standing in the door, shouting at her to come back. And when he began to run, he was ponderous and clumsy, while Adara was indeed small and light and fleet of foot. Hal and Jeff stayed with her longer, but Hal was weak, and Jeff soon winded himself, though he sprinted hard at her heels for a few moments. By the time Adara reached the nearest wheat field, the three of them were well behind her. She quickly lost herself amid the grain, and they searched for hours in vain while she made her way carefully towards the woods. When dusk fell, they brought out lanterns and torches and continued their search. From time to time, she heard her father swearing or Hal calling out her name. She stayed high in the branches of the oak she had climbed and smiled down at their lights as they combed back and forth through the fields. Finally, she drifted off to sleep, dreaming about the coming of winter and wondering how she would live until her birthday. It was still a long time away.